Hey, great day. Mike here. Hope you all are doing well. Here with the Winners News Radio Network, and we're glad you're here for a couple of minutes of time. No measurement here, because I'm going to go through 10 habits of highly successful people. Have you ever wondered why some people are more successful than others? What is it that separates the top from the bottom and the average? What is it that makes those folks do more, do better than everybody else? Well, there are some certain habits that salespeople, all great salespeople, develop. And over time, consistently working with these 10 points I'm going to share with you today, develop these particular habits that when they master them, cause them to be very consistent and successful in their businesses. You see, oftentimes people listen to recordings like this, or watch videos, or go to a training seminar, or maybe have a coach or a consultant, and they get some great ideas, and they say, oh, wow, that's fantastic. And they know logically and frankly emotionally, because it makes them feel good, that these are going to work for them if they just simply implement them, right? So at the end of those engagements, so to speak, like you might feel today, which I hope you don't, that's why I'm saying this up front, is that they take these ideas and they're emotionally pumped up and they say, you know what, I am committed based on what I just read or heard, listened to, watched, engaged with my coach on, and I'm going to go do something with that. And their commitment right then and there is peaked out. Let's say it's at a 10. You know, call it what it is, right? They start to do something, they start to implement, and all of a sudden, what happens? I don't know if you've experienced it. I know I have. Okay. But there's something called distractions, right? Or other things such as avoidance behaviors. Or they try it once, it doesn't work. And then they say, oh, well, you know, maybe for other people, or that doesn't work in my business, my area, my environment, etc. So therefore, they quit working on what they have. You see, folks like myself and my brother David and other thought leaders in this space of consulting and coaching, great salespeople, not just us, but other great salespeople as well, they've developed or they have worked. We have worked in our business for ourselves anyway, over 40 plus years doing what we do. And what we're going to tell you and share with you are ideas and processes. Now, these are not things that I made up. These are things that I was taught as well. And I'm carrying the legacy forward from people that I've learned from in my career. And those things that I was trying myself, I was making attempts, but they were not working. So I said, well, let me find out who's doing what they are doing to be successful like they are being successful. If you want to get success, probably a good idea to model success. I didn't know that. Okay. I just thought, well, you know, you listen to something or you watch other people and you kind of see how they do things. But if you get specific steps and strategies and tactics and you implement those things into your business and into your life, typically, you're going to get the same result. Now, you may not be exactly like that person, different personality style, and so on, but you model the steps. And I'm going to give you 10 fundamentals today. This is not by all means the end all. I will never say that. What I will say, however, this is a foundational element in your business of selling and doing anything, quite honestly, because all of these things kind of connect. And when you look at personal growth, personal development, and you read things on mindset, or you look at things on strategy, or tactics, or vision, or mission statements, business planning, goal setting, all of those things, and then you look at your life, your personal life, and you look at all of these things together as you are personally, excuse me, growing, then ultimately, you're going to see a thing here called the connection of the dots. You're going to start connecting dots, right? So some of these things may not apply to everything that you're doing, but most of them will. And I think it's terrific to listen into this opportunity of what we do as high performance individuals, as my friend Brendan Bouchard likes to call high performance. And I think it's incredibly valuable that whatever you learn, you go and try. So let me preface this before we get into it, and we'll go through it as fast as we can. First, take out a notepad and write these thoughts down. If you need to come back and listen to this later, perhaps you're driving or walking or doing, you know, exercising or whatever the case might be, or you're doing some paperwork and you're listening to this in the background. But I would definitely come back, and I recommend highly that you write these thoughts down. If you want to get a copy of the fill in the blank later on, that you can go back and fill in the holes from the notes that you've took from this, certainly just email us at info@mikehusson.com. That's info@mikehusson.com. That's my personal email. And you can send it to me right there, mikehusson.com. So just say, hey, Mike, 10 habits, send me the doc, and I'll send it over to you. The next thing is, when you go through these, okay, take one at a time, right? You can certainly implement all of them in a period of time, but don't overwhelm yourself, because you're going to go look at this and go, oh, there's 10 things. When am I going to get them done? 10 days? Well, you could. You might be good at it like that. You might have one of these 10 things nailed already, so therefore just 9 remaining, or you may have five of them that you have figured out, and then you have the other 5 that you can work on. So it all depends on where you're at, whether you're new in your industry or you're seasoned, more experienced. Some of these things may apply. Maybe you're seasoned and none of these things are, you're using none of these things, and therefore you need a frank kick in the butt, okay, to implement some of these thoughts. Maybe you'd want to take it to the next level. Maybe you're performing on a scale of 1 to 10, you're performing at a 20, and you want to take it up to a 50 or 100. You want 10x your business, right? Because there is no limitation, right? And if anybody believes that they've capped out their potential, I will argue that you are missing out on the opportunity of a lifetime, because your potential is measured by the people ahead of you in anything that you do. Very obvious. We all will look at ourselves and go, oh, this is where I'm at. But look at that person. Look at where they're at. How am I going to ever be there? Well, maybe one of these 10 things or all of these 10 points I'm going to share with you will get you there. And then the last thing before I kick into this is, when you go through these things, let's say there's one item, whatever the item is, go out and do it. It's not enough to learn. It's not enough to know. It's not enough to be knowledgeable. You have to go apply it. And then what you do after you've applied it is you come back and review it. That's the key. So if you want to take it to the next level of your business, you learn it, you try it, do it, and you come back and you review it. And then you will, when you do that, you're going to come back, and this goes for anything, not just these, this goes for anything. If you're reading a book and you get to go through a chapter and you go, okay, I'm going to go do that because I'm excited, it makes sense, I can make money at it, it's going to make me more self-confident, improve my self-esteem, whatever it is that you're getting out of that information, you go and apply that principle. Doesn't mean you're going to be successful, or you might be successful on the implementation side. Either way, you go, you learn it, you go do it, and you review it. And then when you come back and review it the second time, you're going to look at it at a totally different level. Maybe it'll be a 10% difference, or it could be 100% difference, but there will be a difference, because you now have the experience. Or perhaps you are already doing some of these things and you are pretty good at them, but you know there's room for improvement. Everybody has room for improvement. The question thus becomes, if you go out and apply some of these principles differently than what you are currently doing in a very good way, maybe you go out and try it and come back and review and say, okay, let me compare what I was doing before very well compared to this. What is the difference? Is there a difference? You may need not to change some things, but most often there is some room. I mean, there's always room for improvement. There's always something, just an edge, whether it's a word or how you might say something, an action you might take that is a little bit different, even just 1% different, can make radical changes in everything that you do. So very important. I have to say this. I have to preface it. And I it's really important. I've gone through this before in other venues on video and with some of my clients. And it's something that I want to make sure that I emphasize with this information. So take out your notepad, sharpen your pencil, make sure there's ink in your pen, whatever you're doing, do it later if you need to, like I said. But let's get into this. And let's talk about the very first habit of highly successful salespeople. Number one is write and review your goals on a daily basis. Write and review your goals on a daily basis. And I'll get into some concepts on goals here. But your goals, if you write and review them every day, reinforces what you have set out to do, like a heat-seeking missile. It's going to find its target because it's designated and formulated and programmed to go after its target, right? And it's reminded technologically, okay, done by humans, obviously, or maybe AI, depending upon where we are in our society today, time of this recording. But when you rewrite and review your goals, it reinforces. Hopefully, it's going to reinforce motivation, inspiration, remind you, whatever the case might be. Now, there's some points under this. Letter A is goals should be anchored in values. You know, I can tell you, give you goals, and you can certainly follow them, but are they your values? Maybe they're my values. Okay. Your values might be family. My values might be about money. Your values might be about better health, and I might be about something different, okay? But you got to anchor your goals and values, i.e., what is most important to you? Just write that down. Your values are things that are most important to you. Because oftentimes, the challenge is people want success, but they're in conflict because they want to be with their families. And with success comes great responsibility, Spider-Man, that if you want success, there's going to be some sacrifices, at least in the short term for sure, if you want bigger or greater success than you currently have right now. So you got to make sure they're anchored in your values. And you can achieve both those pieces of the puzzle of family and money and investing in your business, at the same time investing in your family. But just remember, for the point here today, in the short term, have your goals anchored in values, okay? And so, now, the next point here under number one is use the as-if principle. And the as-if principle is not the what was principle. Okay, write that down. It's not the what was principle, meaning you carry forward your failures or your lack or, you know, how you were raised or you never had this and you never were born with a silver spoon in your mouth and money doesn't grow on trees, bullshit. Whatever it is, you can't carry that forward. As if represents that you've already achieved the goal. So you future pace your mindset into the future. Doesn't mean you're attached to the future. It just means that you envision a better future than you currently have right now. Ideally, that's what you want to do. I just want to think better tomorrow than I do today. And yesterday was just an experience of that I went through. okay, has no bearing on where you are now and or into the future, what happened yesterday. I think oftentimes people walk around with this huge backpack of shit that they've got from the history, and they can't imagine themselves, because of those experiences, going forward. Even if you had success, I was listening to Ed Mylett a few weeks ago talking about his book, One More, and he made a terrific point. Even though you have had successes, those are great things without question, but let's think about the present and think about the future. Because those things that you had then, if you had greatness back then, there is greater chance that you're going to have better than greatness today and tomorrow, right? So use the as-if principle, as if you've already achieved your goals. And then the next letter here under this is people, highly successful salespeople have their goals. I'm still on number one, have their goals in six areas of their life: family, spiritual, social, financial, mental, and physical. And just have a sentence around those. So if you rewrite your review, your goals, take these six areas of your life and write down a simple sentence for each one of those areas. Like for me, I love learning. Part of my world, and always been like that, and it's never going to go away until I lose my mind. Okay, I lose my mind if you don't use this stuff that I'm telling you about. But anyway, I have a goal of reading and listening to audios every single day. That's my mental goal. So I am reading every day something blank, right? Now, it could be on a specific strategy, maybe marketing, maybe copywriting, which I'm learning a lot more of now and been doing for the last several years, but getting better and better at it, creating funnels for marketing. So I'm going to learn something that's really important to me right now, and part of that mental. The other side of it is my mental is my spiritual side, right? So I know for sure I am reading the Bible or excerpts from the Bible every single day. And I listen to people in that area, pastors and from my church, and I get that anchored into my brain. Okay, so have those goals. Point number two is plan. Write this down. Plan your day in advance. And you prioritize your list using the 80-20 rule. Now, whether you've been under a rock or never heard of it before, either way is fine, okay? But the 80-20 rule has been around for a long time from Prieto, okay? 20% of your activities gives you 80% of your results. 20% of your client base gives you 80% of your income from that client base, right? So when you prioritize your plan, what are the three or four things that give you the most production in your day, as an example, in your business? I'll give you four real quick. These are key result areas if you're in the selling business. You have to market your services. You have to market to the public. Point number one. Point number two is you have to qualify the consumer. Once they've engaged with you because of your marketing efforts, your outreach, or whatever you're doing there to generate clients or leads, right? You have to qualify them. That's number two. And you qualify them through having a conversation with them. Three is following up with them. Now, I know it sounds like, well, yeah, really, Mike? Yeah, really. Because 90% of most salespeople do not follow up consistently or well enough or have a simple or more direct process for follow up. And they hope that, you know, the first call they get from the person that they called on or the lead they generated through social media, and they ask them a few questions and the person, you know, checked off all the boxes, that they're going to make a decision right then and there to buy the product. Now, that could happen, but that's what we call, write this down, an exception. It is not the rule. 90% of outcomes, results, appointments, etc., come as a result of follow-up and follow-through anywhere between 4 to 400 times. But it's going to be definitely more than once, more often than not. There's always, everybody throws out statistics on what is the follow-up. Well, that kind of depends, right? And it depends on the initial conversation all the way through the process. But am I going to get into sales training here? Okay. But there's those things. Those are marketing, there's conversations and qualifications, there's follow-up. And the last thing, part of your 20%ers, is your actual going on appointments, making a presentation, making your offer, whether you do it online or you do it face-to-face, belly-to-belly, however that's done. Those are four, those are the 20%ers of most salespeople that are in the top 1%ers focus their energy on all day long. They don't do it for a few hours in the morning and then they take off in the afternoon. They might, but more often than not, they're doing this throughout the day. They're always marketing, always asking questions of people, always following up with people that they need to follow up with. And they're looking to set an appointment and go on a couple of appointments a day. And that's kind of the 20%ers that give you 80% of results. So plan your day in advance. Your list must contain things that are important in your business. Now, I'm going to go, before I go on to number three, make sure when you plan your day in advance that you do it. The next thing, or the previous thing to that, which I should note here, is that you need to plan your week in advance. Okay? And this could be wrapped around goals, and but primarily these are objectives based on your goal for the year or other plans that you may have. I'm not going to get into the woods on that. Again, these are in order because you have your goals and you got to make your plan according to those particular goals. Keep it simple. All you simply do is reverse engineer, whether it's a year, a quarter, or a month, or a week, or a day. And you just reverse engineer back into what you got to do right now to get you to that end game, right? So you plan your day in advance. And then the other part of this, just to make a sidebar here, although I, like I said, I didn't make a note here, but is to plan your week in advance. And how you do these things is very simple. You plan your day, you go do your day. When you come back at the end of your day, you review your day. Okay. Same thing for a week. And then you plan for tomorrow. So if I'm working in my day, compartmentalize this thought, please. Okay. Okay. You can focus. Okay. I plan my day, I go do my day, and then I come back and review my day, and then I plan my day for tomorrow. And I do this every day. And then when the week ends, two different words, when the week ends for me, okay, I'll give you an example. If it's on my weekends on Friday, I'm going to plan my sit down. My routine is to sit down on Sundays for, you know, 30 minutes, maybe an hour, could be longer, could be shorter, depends, but keep it whatever time frame it is. And I'm going to review my previous week. And I'm going to carry forward what I needed to, what I need to carry forward. And I'm going to plan my upcoming week. So you got your day compartmentalized and then you got your week. And if you work in those frames, you're going to get more done because you're going to be more compartmentalized. People look into the future, you know, that as this thing going on, that's fine. I'm not saying not to do that, but you got to be careful not to. I'm not getting anywhere because the goal is way out there. It doesn't seem achievable. And then you quit doing what you need to do today. A reverse engineer shit goes out the door. Okay. Doesn't work. So plan your day in advance. Ideally. Number three is ask yourself two really important questions. For those of you who have heard me before, I'm adamant about this. This changed my clarity about my mindset. Rather than beating myself up after I was failing miserably in my business, you know, I learned from Brian Tracy these two questions. Brian Tracy, Psychology of Selling. If you haven't heard of him, maybe you are under a rock. I'm teasing. But at the end of the day, he was one of my, my brother David and I worked with him closely in producing seminars for him. We were his one of his promoters around the country here in the U.S. But I worked in his work. I worked his material way before I even engaged with him personally. And I was listening to his Psychology of Selling and other works that he had put together back in the 80s, okay? And throughout today, still do. Still a great guy, okay? But one of the things he always said is, you know, people go out there, do things, and they beat themselves up for failing, right? Or losing out or whatever the case might be. So two important questions to overcome, you know, because you got to stack this, guys. You got to stack this out. First thing, number three here, we're on point number three. What did I do right? You know, ask yourself, what's going well? Okay, what is good? You got to stack your wins. What's going well here? And then you back it up with, you know, if you blew it, you screwed up, something didn't work, people didn't sign the contract, whatever the deal is, right? You failed at getting something done. Rather than beating yourself up and calling yourself a failure, first and foremost, you are not a failure. What you were doing maybe didn't work out, and that failed. Doesn't make you a failure. You're human. All right, you heard me? Good. You're human, right? But rather than beat ourselves up, ask ourselves, what did I do right here? I made the attempt, okay? And if you didn't get the appointment, or you're talking, you finally got somebody on the phone, you didn't close the Ford appointment, or whatever the case might be, and you get off the phone, or you get out of that meeting, or whatever, off that phone call, whatever it is, doesn't matter. Ask yourself, what could I have done differently? And whether it went very well or not, doesn't matter. Do the same thing. Hey, what went well here? Man, I did this, I did that. You start stacking your wins. And then you say, what could I do different? You can't say, well, I'm the king of the hill, the queen of the mountain, and the, you know, whatever. Okay, I'm the saint because I've achieved greatness and I'm going to make a check for $50,000 and fantastic. I don't need to improve anything. I just go out and do that again. Well, how would you like to make a $100,000 check based on that same experience, right? Anyway, my point is going back to this room for improvement thing going on here, right? Just ask yourself, number three, what am I doing well? Stack that, and what can I do to improve? What can I do differently the next time out? Number four, use the doctor of selling approach. Use the doctor of selling approach. I got a lot of friends who are doctors. He may be even listening to this right now, Dr. John, but and his brothers, all these guys became doctors, man. I was lucky enough to have a good relationship with my teacher in high school just to get me through because she was such a nice lady. Okay, she passed me. I don't know how, but she did it. She had some connections with the principal or something like that. But these guys are doctors, man, right? But I've always, you know, thought about this. And when you look at the doctor of selling approach and philosophy, it makes total sense, right? Great salespeople understand this philosophy. I mean, you don't go to a doctor and say, hey, doc, I got a headache. And he says, okay, Mary, what time is good in the morning? I've got it at 5:30 and a 7 a.m. We can do brain surgery on Mike then, or maybe we can do it the following day. Which works best for you, Mike? Wait a minute, doc. I just got a headache. Okay. If you never went in and asked me this point, which is ask questions to find the needs, wants, and desires of the patient, I would not really be comfortable. Would you? In anything. I don't care if it's getting brain surgery, you have a headache, you got, you know, a hernia, or you're buying a computer. I have no idea. All of those things are going on in my life right now. Okay, so that's why I'm using them as examples. So keep that in mind, guys. Using the doctor of philosophy, doctor of selling philosophy. Great doctors ask what? A lot of questions. You know it as much as I'm saying it right now. Okay, so let me go through a simple layer process with you when you do ask questions, because this is really important. This is where a lot of people miss out on building trust and credibility and great relationships with people because they were either taught something different, you know, get in, get out, you know, slam them and move on. If they don't buy, you know, screw them, go get a new person, okay? Or they're taught this philosophy, okay? And I call it the layer philosophy. And it says, it stands for L-A-E-R. Listen, acknowledge, explore, respond. So when you ask a question, you listen carefully to the answer. You acknowledge that answer. You repeat back to the person what you heard they said. Doesn't have, maybe it's not the whole thing they said, but minimally the very end, typically, of what they said. All right? Then you acknowledge what they said, and then you explore, and then you respond accordingly to the next logical step, whether it's another question, maybe you're booking an appointment, or whatever the case might be. That's the philosophy. So when you, as a professional salesperson looks at, and you're meeting with clients, you're asking them questions like a doctor, okay? Needs, wants, desires, who, what, where, when, why, and how, all of those things, right, that will be a part of your business, that it's important to ask these particular types of questions more often than not than other businesses, but you know what those are, at least you should. And if you don't, well, then you'll figure it out. Point is when you ask those questions, people want to know that you're listening. People want to know that, and they know that you're listening because you're acknowledging what they said. You're not skipping through the, you know, you ask a question and you move on. No, they acknowledge it. Okay, I heard you. That's kind of what they want to know. Did you hear me? Because most people don't hear. Why? Because they finally worked their ass off to get a client. It killed them to get that client. They lost all their everything to get this client. They finally got him in. They're asking them a bunch of questions. And they just want to get through because they see a commission on the other side. And they forget, maybe I should kind of look to build this relationship with these people. Well, that's different. Okay. So let's listen, acknowledge, explore, respond. And then letter B. So let's go back. Let me recap for clarity here. We're on point number 4, using the doctor of selling philosophy. Letter A is ask questions to find out their needs, wants, and desires. Use the layer technique. And then letter B on this is find the pain and relieve it. You see, when you ask questions, your goal is to find the pain that people are having. More than likely, you want to lean into people that have, or ideally, should I say, not more than likely, but more ideally, you're typically going to find people who are speaking with you because they have more of a need, right? Now, if they hit the lotto, and let's say you're selling real estate, and they don't need the house, but they now have the money to buy the big house, and they want it, right? Either way, quite frankly, there's a pain. I got all this money. Now what am I going to do with it? Well, did you want to buy a bigger home? I mean, you're living in a $300,000 place. How about we find a $3 million place? How'd that make you feel? Oh, man, I really hate this $300,000. Honey, let's get it, okay? So either way, there's ways to find pain, right? But just listen, when you ask questions, you're going to hear these things. You know, why are you doing this? What's keeping you from doing what's keeping you from achieving your results, your outcome? If you don't get it, how's that going to make you feel? These are some compelling pain questions to ask people because they're vital. Because you just don't want to sell somebody something because you're going to make some money and they're not going to be happy with the result of what you sold them. Okay? Maybe it's not the right computer or the right neighborhood or the right size house. Maybe it's too big. Maybe they live in a two-story house. You want to go sell them a two-story house? No, you want to sell them a single-story house. Well, they got a lot of money in this two-story house in Pinecrest, Florida, which is, you know, $5,000 a square foot. And I want to go sell them another house in Pinecrest, Florida, because I can make $50,000 commission. Okay? Whatever their pain is, I don't know. Okay? So find out people's pain and relieve it. That's what kind of like doctors do. Wouldn't you agree? All right? Let's move on. And then we'll wind down here. Well, we'll wind down when we're done. Won't that? How does that sound? You want me to take a break? Okay, take one when we're done. Number 5, successful daily living. You know, there's this thing called balance. You know, I have my thoughts about it. You know, yeah, sure, balance. You know, I do a little bit of this and a little bit of that. Keep it in check, you know, kind of deal. I think if you do your deal, oftentimes, and you're consistent with the other 4 items very typically, you're going to probably have a thriving business, at least in that part. You're growing now. You're starting to see some and get some traction going down here, right? And this part of, you know, I'm going to get until, you know, 24/7 being a beast about your business. Hey, you might have to do that. Then that's perfectly okay. Maybe things shifted in your life and you're pivoting. And you have to, you know, grab hold of what you got going on while you got breath in your lungs and you got, you know, capacity. And you might have to stop doing whatever, right, to get things done. And at the end of the day, you have to jam out. And you might lose some balance. There's going to be some sacrifices. But let's keep it to the point here. So highly successful salespeople have successful daily living. They do exercise. You know, you can do aerobic exercises. You can walk at a higher pace. You can go to the gym. Swimming is fantastic. It's non-threatening and gives good resistance, you know, but exercising 4 or 5 times a week, like every day, like I do, do a couple of times a day. It's not aggressive, but I have 2 dogs that I walk. Okay. They're a pain in my butt to have sometimes when it rains, but you know what? It's got to be done. And I feel better because it's forcing me to do something. Okay. I'm not a big gym girl like my brother, David. He's at the gym. I don't know. He's probably there now. He was there since this morning, and he's probably riding his bike now back to the gym. And then he'll be on a cruise next week. I don't know what he's doing, but he's a gym fanatic. Okay. He's always been like that. It's been quite amazing. Much better than me about that. But anyway, so part of your daily successful daily living is doing some exercise. Move your body, you know, especially today we're sitting more often at home. We're not moving around. We're not walking through offices, maybe, depending on what you do, right? But move around. Even if you're sitting at your desk, you know, walk around, stand up and talk to people. Go outside and, you know, put a headset on your phone and maybe have a conversation outside your house. Whatever it takes, keep moving around. Number B, or letter B here, is eat properly. Okay. Listen, do your best here. Okay. I'm not going to give you the old Atkins diet and the South Beach diet. And, you know, you should eat this amount of carbs and this much protein and quit eating oats and all that stuff. I have, you know, I'm not the perfect in terms of balance of diet, although I'm Middle Eastern. We've had that growing up and I enjoy it. So I, you know, personally, I've been kind of healthy, right, relative to other people, maybe in my kind of, you know, you're not going to get up in the morning or at lunch and eat a bowl of pasta. It's not really the very best recommendation because you'll spike up with the carbs and then you'll crash. Okay. So just kind of balance it out, guys. Learn what's good for you. Don't, you know, get the advice of a good nutritionist. Maybe you need one. It's worth the investment if you can make it. But, you know, get some balance going on there with some decent eating. Healthy relationships is letter C. Letter C is having healthy relationships, right? And so having healthy relationships, I mean, not being around people who are pulling you down. Being around people who are pulling you up is a lot better, right? So here at the end of the day, you got to ask yourself, who am I hanging around with? What value am I getting out of this relationship? What value am I bringing to this relationship? How's that making me feel, right? I don't want to hang around with people who are going to be downtrodden. Just not my style, okay? I might listen to them. I might have some, you know, people in my world that are, you know, like, wow, okay? But I'm an engager, and I respect people where they're at, right? But it doesn't mean I have to live into that either. I just know I know my boundaries with that because I love my family and my friends that I am very close with. But you know how that goes, right? You just have to measure it out, right? If you're not around people who are encouraging you, pulling you up, right? And that includes your business, right? Where you have people in your business, are they pulling you up? Are you in the right room? You know, you've heard this before. If you haven't heard, this is another rock. Let's pull over all the rocks here today. But if you're in a room and you're the smartest person in that room, leave the room, okay? Unless you're the trainer, okay? If you're the trainer and you're in a room with people who need to learn, then you're the smartest guy in the room. That's good. Not a problem. I encourage that because what you learn, what you do, and you go teach, you become really, really good at what you are doing. I mean, it's just really great. If you want to level yourself up, get into a room with folks that are smarter, richer, better, healthier, happier, good relationships. Get in those rooms where people will pull you up and they understand where you might be at now, right? Like a good mentor understands, hey, I've been there, man. I know what it's like. I got the t-shirts on the wall. And so I'm going to make sure that I'm going to pull my pull my people up. If you're around people who are up above you, you know, they're in income or whatever, and they're jerks, then I don't want those people in my life. Yeah, it looks good. You know, nice car, man. Oh, good, cool watch. Look at those shoes. Oh, your beautiful wife. Oh, beautiful husband. Whatever, right? But they're not there to help you, then I don't need them. Don't want them. Next one, 6. You got to become a specialist. Now, don't take offense to this, but this is what you signed up for. Otherwise, you may want to consider why you did this in the first place, because this will happen. And that is becoming a specialist in 2 areas. And I'm going to be quick on this one because I don't want to hang too much here because it's depressing. It's miserable. It's just something that we don't want. Letter A, to become a specialist in this area, is to become a rejection specialist. Letter B is to become a frustration specialist. My friends, you will get rejected. Well, let me say it this way, to lighten the load on your mind if it is there. Nobody wants to be rejected at anything. But more often than not, okay, the rejection is not about you. Now, you've probably heard this in a million different ways, but I'm going to say it the way I say it. People have a need, or they don't. They have a want, or they don't. You can't force somebody to do something. I don't care how good you are. I don't care how many skills you've got, how many seminars you've gone to, how many coaches you got banking up in your closet there, books on your shelves, seminars you've attended, all that stuff. It ain't going to convince anybody because they don't have a need or a want or a desire. Okay? You can make the offer to them if they reached out to you and you presented what you have and they said, yeah, I really don't need it. Oh, let me force you to do this. No, not right now. But you have the money. Yeah, I know. But, you know, I'm really happy where I'm at. I really just don't want to do any more. Well, come on, make it happen. No, I just don't want to. Excuse me. That happened to me the other day. Talking to somebody and they want to sell me a program. I don't need it. I don't want it. I got plenty of programs. Now, maybe it would be good, could be, but not right now. Timing is just not there, okay? I'm not rejecting this person. I just, not at this time. I don't need it. Think about it this way. You gone out, you had a 10-course meal. Got to the bar, you had a couple drinks, you had some olives, you go to the table, you had some appetizers, you had another drink. You get first course salad, you get second course of bread, you get third course, fourth course, whatever, main meal. Then you have some dinner, some dessert, and you've finished, and the server comes up to you and says, okay, would you guys like another 10-course meal? And no way, I'm pretty full. No, please, I beg of you, I need this tip to be bigger. It can happen. So, point is, when you're hungry, what do? You eat. And if you happen to be the restaurant, the server that shows up in front of that person who is hungry for your product, good, or service, then the result will be positive for you, ideally, because you're following these other 4, 5, 6 steps that I've gone through, okay? You're going to get frustrated, but I'm not going to hang there too much. Accept it, okay? Just accept frustration. It's a good thing, because if you're getting frustrated, it means you're making progress. You're doing something, which is most people will not do. How are you feeling today? Oh, not too bad. How's business? Oh, pretty good. That's 2 salesmen talking to each other. How'd you do today? Oh, not too bad. Well, you didn't make any sales either, right? Okay. There is no frustration. But those who are frustrated, well, are engaged in what they're doing. It's part of dealing with people, right? You're not sitting as salespeople. Typically, you're not sitting behind a computer pushing things. And you probably don't know the feeling of frustration if you're that's all you're doing, you know, you're posting things or perusing social media rather than creating content. Like this recording is creating content. I listen to content all the time. I'm consuming, but we are at the Winners News Network here looking to create more than we already have. So frustration comes with this. Technology, yesterday I was dealing with some crap with my technology doing this particular recording. I don't even know it's being recorded now. If it's not, well, too bad. Okay. I hope it is, because you're maybe listening. I'm watching the meter here, listening to my voice. But you will get frustrated. Accept it. Number seven, be a people builder. That goes back to that point, you know, about relationships. Just be a people builder. And you want to fly with, you want to, number eight, be a people builder. Very simple. Okay. Help other people. You see a partner, a friend of yours, maybe your significant other, maybe a person in your office, if you go to the office, or you heard of a colleague who needs some help or some feedback on something, give them some help. You know, you don't have to be a, you know, well, I'm not a championship coach, Mike. How am I going to do that? Well, if you know what they're gone through, and maybe you say, you know, I did something a little bit different. Can I give you some feedback, or, you know, give you some thoughts on what I did? You know, kind of like what we do as coaches and consultants. It's kind of what we did. Make sense, right? So be a people builder, you know. Be a people builder, not just around your business either. Be it in everything that you do, because when you do it in everything that you do, you know, you go to the grocery store, you thank the cashier. You give a couple of dollars to a tip. When they say, oh, we don't take tips, they'll fire me. Well, tell them to talk to me and I'll fire them, right? Because I have done that. Oh, we're not allowed to take tips. And I put it on, and I dropped the money on the ground outside. I said, where did that come from? Well, is that yours? I have no idea. Maybe you should take it. Okay. And don't give it to anybody else. Just take it. Okay. Whatever you got to do, people builder, say thank you, say congratulations, you know, whatever. Send a thank you note to people that you've had a conversation that never bought anything from you, being a people builder. Number eight, fly with eagles. Hang around positive reference group. We talked about that. I'm not going to embellish. And then believe wholeheartedly in the company that you work for. You see, top salespeople believe in who they work for. They believe in the products and services that they offer and sell. And they believe in selling themselves, right? Those are the three foundations of flying with eagles. You hang around a good reference group, and then you believe wholeheartedly in who you work with and for. You know, there's a lot of shifts in the real estate space today. There's a lot of shifts in another rock here, if you haven't heard about it. Now it's in the public domain, so to speak, right? It's out there in the world. But there's some shifts going on, because I work in the real estate space, some of my business, I hear it all the time. Okay. And so people are, well, my company is this and my company is that. Well, leave your company, right? Go be with somebody who's going to support you, or open your own company. How's that? Go get your own broker's license. Quit complaining and enjoy and respect. You know, there's no perfect company out there. I don't care if it's owned by Warren Buffett or Jeff Bezos. Got the perfect delivery. It is pretty good, isn't it? Yeah, that thing's honing, I can tell you, right? But it does have its flaws, right? But anyway, believe in your company. Believe in what you do. Believe in what you offer. What value you bring into the marketplace. And then believe in yourself. That's a really big thing. Number nine, they are masters at building relationships. These numbers here connect, right? You're building relationships with people. And the best way to build relationships is to learning. Goes back to my layer, right? But build relationships, because you don't know. You listen, if I don't buy, or if somebody doesn't buy from you, whatever the case might be, right? Doesn't mean that relationship is cut off. You should never talk to them again. You know, unfortunately, I was kind of taught that, not Brian Tracy, but somebody different I'm not going to mention here. But, you know, forget the relationship thing. You know, you're just there, make the call. And if they sign the contract, then you could leave. Some of y'all know who I'm talking about if you know who I'm referring to, but I'm not going to mention any names here. But, you know, in all due respect, it kind of made sense, you know, because you want to get in and out, you want to hang out because people just ain't going to do something. But really, you know, come on. So I never did that necessarily. I may have done it a few times just because it didn't make any sense. I didn't want to have a relationship with these people. They were going to be, you know, vacuum cleaners in my brain and my life, right? And I knew that going in, or not, you know, at the end, I knew it. I didn't want to go forward with it. And we have that choice. But more often than not, when people don't, you know, answer your call of, do you want to buy this? And they say no, doesn't mean you need to kill the relationship. It's oftentimes who they know, right? So look to always build relationships. And you do that through building trust and credibility. How? By bringing value to them, bringing that into their world and their environment. And the last point here, guys, is, you know, being masters at building relationships, the other 9 points here, okay, number 10 is this. And I believe this to be foundational, okay? All these other things are foundational, without question. They're pretty basic as far as I'm concerned. But these things are really basic because you can, it's either you're growing or you are dying in your mind, okay? Some people are just extremely complacent, okay? Yeah, they'll pick up an idea, nugget here and again, and you know, try it out, don't work. Hey, it ain't no big deal because they either got a lot of money, don't really care about growing, and they're very complacent. Or some people just, well, that stuff doesn't work. Maybe for them, it will work, but not for me. I was brought up on the other side of the tracks, bullshit, okay? But here's number 10. The top people in any industry, the top relationships in any life, okay, they are committed to lifelong personal development. I mean, it's such a gift, guys, to go into the mind of somebody who preceded you and did something that you want to do and learn from them, right? Again, whether it's business or personal, it doesn't matter, right? And so why fight it when it's there? Well, I'm going to invent it. Well, then go invent it. I'm not saying not to go do that, okay? But really, most inventions are just a refinement of something that already existed very typically, okay? You know, the fire went from that to that of a click of a button on a stove that now cooks steaks in your house. From the caveman to, you know, being at home today. It's an evolution, right? So top salespeople, great salespeople, great leaders, in my humble opinion, are committed to lifelong personal development. Not one time and I'm done, right? They read 30 to 60 minutes every day. You know, reading is very different than listening to audios, listening to this recording, unless you're intently and arduously taking notes right now. Because you're really listening to me, which is great. If you're doing that, fantastic, right? Maybe you came back from the bike ride and you're sitting down listening to me finally, and you're taking notes here. But it is a lot different when you read versus listening to a video, watching videos, listening to audios while you're doing other things, because we have a tendency to be a bit distracted. Maybe some of us are very focused in there, but there's all distractions going on. Even if you're walking through a beautiful countryside, right? There's going to be a bird flying by and I'm going to be saying something profound and the bird will be flying by and you'll look up and you didn't hear what I said. But reading gives you the ability to put your brain and your mind together. Now, if you read and listen together, let's say an audio book and a book that's being, you know, read by the author, an audio book being read by the author in their book that they wrote. Wow. That's really powerful. Next is the 10 training seminars. Regularly attend trainings wherever you can, okay, that relate to your business. And if it's something you need for your health or your personal relationships, get the training that you need, okay? You know, going to church could be a training space. I go to a church, or I listen when I don't go to church. I'm on, you know, listening to a podcast around that, you know, lives coming in that are being streamed into my house, right? But training seminars regularly. Do whatever you can to improve that. 4 or 5 times a year, hanging around some great people, getting into the connecting environment, really powerful. One, that's the next level of reading, because you're immersed in training seminars, so they're very good to do. Which is the next layer here, listening to positive audios and videos daily. This is what you're listening to here, which you'll be watching sometime in the future when you go to the Winners News Network podcast and on YouTube, which is not really big now, but it will be, I guarantee you that much, or anybody else. I don't really care. Whatever, just do something related to this, right? And then the last thing on this is the top people, okay, have a coach and a mentor. They look at, you know, Michael Jordan had a coach, right? He had a coach that helped him along. Tim Grover was one of his coaches. And he was, you know, was Tim Grover a basketball player? No, but he was a physiologist and a sports scientist, understand mindset and body and all that stuff. But having a coach looks as is kind of like, I look at it as a third eye. Okay. A mentor, a little bit different, but similar, right? But a coach is your third eye. You know, I'll give an example. I go through things with my clients. Well, let's say a presentation process that we go through on whatever they're selling, right? And I know their process and they know what they should do in their process, which is most of the time they don't listen to me. No, I'm joking. They do listen to me, at least most of the time anyway. But anyway, when I'm talking to them and they tell me about an experience they had and they got to the deal or they didn't get the deal, I go in my brain through a process with them and I question them about how they felt from the opening all the way to the end. You know, how did it go from point A to point B, so to speak, right? And so the third eye here, when I hear the response, and this happens when, you know, even if they did well, it happens, you'll find something, right? Not that I'm looking for something, just naturally comes up because we're humans. I'm not, you know, I'm a good coach. I'm a great coach. It depends on how the day was. No, I could be better, right? But when a coach looks at and they know intimately what will give you the best result, and I give you that feedback, it just takes it to a whole new level of experience and result for you, for the individual. Now, I'm not touting that you should call me up and say, hey, Mike, I want, you know, can you talk to me about being a coach? You know what? That would be very good. Okay. My number is somewhere in this recording or posted online. Give me a call. I'm more than happy to have a conversation with you. All right. I'll even do a complimentary. Now, and if you hire me as your coach or my brother David for what he does, okay, and the mindset stuff, but we'll, you know, we'll credit that time towards your coaching or give you your money back. Okay. But anyway, get a coach and a mentor. These are folks that have experience, right? Not book readers, you know, have I read books to get ahead before I went to a coach and a mentor? Sure, I have. Most of the coaches and mentors have. They all have. I'm going to say most of them, all of us have, right? But they had somebody one-on-one that they worked with personally most of the time, okay? Now, I'm going to say most of the time because there's some things I know that just you don't need to know. It doesn't really matter, right? What does matter is having somebody there as your third eye. Because they'll give you distinction. And all you need is that distinction. When Michael was jumping in the air to make the ball go into the hoop, his coach was on the sideline. Mike, lift your leg up about an eighth of an inch the next time when you're jumping up. Think about it. When you're jumping up, bring that right leg up a little bit and watch what happens. He increases performance by 30%. I mean, just a move of my leg, that Mike was flying in the air. He wasn't looking at his legs. He's looking at the hoop. And his coach is looking at his legs and gives him more balance and more trajectory and more consistency in getting the ball in the hoop. So, guys, that's it. Go back, review these notes. I hope they made sense. Pay this forward to people that you know and people that you don't like. Okay? But do us a favor. You know, here at the Winners News Network, we believe in what we do. My brother David and I are very proud of what we are looking to always accomplish, what we have done, and we'll always continue to move forward in this vein of bringing the very best of information to hopefully impact you and those people that you know. So whenever possible, please pay this information forward to others, maybe a family member, a friend, a colleague. And yeah, you know, send this off to a client. There's perhaps somebody you know in your life that's a business owner, right? Might have to be a, you know, client that you sell your products to, and I'm not going to take their business because you sent my recording. No, you probably helped them out, and they're going to be very happy. I will always encourage, whenever possible, that you should, you know, listen to people like Robert Kiyosaki, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, or Alex Hormozi on making $1 million an hour, you know, doing acquiring leads, or Jeff Walker on the marketing side. Or whomever. I mean, there's, you know, Brendan Bouchard, great guy. Okay. people I've worked with, Tony Robbins. Listen to all these guys, Brian Tracy, Les Brown, Michael Gerber, read his material. I mean, pay it forward to your friends, family, colleagues, and your clients. All right. If you have any questions, feel free to reach out. In the meantime, please leave your thoughts, comments, reactions, questions. In the meantime, go have a great day. I appreciate your time. We will talk to you later. This is Mike, along with my brother Dave, here at the Winners News Network. Make it a great day. Oh, by the way, I want to make sure that we're adding this in our new sponsor, which is our company, but it is a sponsor because you get a tax deduction this way. But as a sponsor, at VIP Capital Funding Group, that's our business capital business that we have. And we lend money to small to medium-sized businesses, sometimes bigger ones too. And we also do real estate investor loans. You know, if you fix and flip or hard money or anything like that, rehab money, whatever you need money for in terms of a business. It's not real estate mortgages. We do not do that, but we do commercial capital. So whether it's startup money, lines of credits, equipment financing, really anything wrapped around a business, good credit or bad credit, don't matter. As long as, you know, it makes sense, there's ways to get something done most of the time. Sometimes we just can't, but we're here to help you in that arena. Just go to make it easy, go to allfundingsources.com. That's allfundingsources.com, and you can learn more about it there. In the meantime, go make it a great day. Thanks for the selfless pitch, and we appreciate it. Talk to you soon.